Today's Hebrew reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 5 through 10. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, "Take courage." The artisan encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer encourages the one who strikes with the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It is good." And they fasten it with nails so that it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and chapter 12, verses 11 through 12. After this, Jesus appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. When they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers, and the authorities, do not worry about how you are to defend yourself or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week we are talking about courage. And as we continue our Lenten study series about faith in the climate crisis, each week we're picking a value, a spiritual virtue that helps us to respond to what is happening to our earth. And so this week it's courage. And I think there is going to be a lot of overlap with the situation that we're facing also with social isolation and with the outbreak that continues to spread. So, courage comes from the French word cœur, or the Latin word cor, which both mean heart. So it's about acting from the heart, from what we know to be true and right, not acting from the excuses or justifications that we come up with out of fear or from the pressures others put on us to go along, not make any waves. I think we learned two vital things about courage from this morning's scripture. The first, from our gospel passage, is that it can be a lonely road at first to act from the heart, to act with courage, but that the Holy Spirit is always with us, ready to give us the words to go against the grain or to speak out for what's right. Can you imagine the disciples being sent out into towns where they know no one to share a message that would have been radically countercultural, the message that God's kingdom is here and now and that we can all connect directly to the divine? This message was likely very unpopular since it challenged the stranglehold that religious authorities had on access to God. So it must have been terrifying, particularly when those disciples got dragged before religious authorities to explain themselves and justify their disruptive message. Yet Jesus tells them not to worry, advice we surely can use in these anxious days, because the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say. That's the amazing, wonderful thing about God present to us in the Holy Spirit. It shows up and gives us exactly what we need to act from the heart in any given circumstance. My favorite prayer is one that I say just before we start worship, in prayerful conversations with all of you, when I need patience, and especially when I need courage. It's just three simple words, and it's, "Come, Holy Spirit." And you know what, friends? It works. Every time. I feel God's power show up in some way, or maybe not even in a way I can notice then, but that I see looking back on the situation, and I know that I have not been alone, and that I have been given what I need for that very moment. So I'd encourage you to try that out this week, whenever you're facing a circumstance that requires a little extra courage, or a little extra patience with your kids, or with hiccups that happen with other things that are going on in your life, your daily routine. The second thing we learned from our scripture reading this morning is that it may be lonely at first to act from the heart, to act with courage, but if we can manage to do it with God's help, then others will come alongside us, inspired by our integrity. I imagine that this is the reason that Jesus sends the disciples out two by two instead of just by themselves. The contagiousness of courage is especially helpful in times of uncertainty. In Isaiah, when the coastlands have seen and are afraid, and the ends of the earth tremble, when there's so much upheaval and fear, the response of God's people is that each one helps the other, saying to one another, "Take heart, take courage." The artisan encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It is good." And they fasten it with nails so that it cannot be moved. I love how specific this is. Everyone has a different job, a different gift to add to the task at hand. Instead of competing or fearing one another or fighting over resources or fighting about the best path to take, they all encourage one another. They hearten one another. And they work together to create something so rock solid that it cannot be moved. It reminds me that as God's people, together, we can turn a time of crisis into one of community, transforming old ways into more just and inclusive ones so that we are all held and supported. I wanted to share a reading with you that we read last week at Lenten Study Series. It's from the journal of John Woolman, who was a Quaker born in 1720. He was a lawyer, and this first writing comes from 1743, when he's about 23 years old. He says, "My employer, having a Negro woman, sold her and directed me to write a bill of sale, the man being waiting who bought her. The thing was sudden, and though the thoughts of writing an instrument of slavery for one of my fellow creatures felt uneasy, yet I remember that it was my master who directed me to do it, and that it was an elderly man, a member of our society of friends, that is, Quaker, who bought her. So through weakness, I gave way and wrote it. But at the executing of it, I was so afflicted in my mind that I said before my master and the other Quaker that I believed slave keeping to be a practice inconsistent with the Christian religion. This in some degree abated my uneasiness, yet as often as I reflected seriously upon it, I thought I should have been clear if I had desired to be excused from it as a thing against my conscience. And then, about 13 years later, there's another journal entry. John Woolman writes, "A friend who was dying desired me to write his will. I took notes, and amongst other things, he told me to which of his children he gave his young Negro. I considered the pain and distress he was in, and I knew not how it would end. So I wrote his will, save only that part concerning his slave, and carrying it to his bedside, I read it to him, and then told him, in a friendly way, that I could not write any instrument by which my fellow creatures were made slaves, without bringing trouble on my own mind. I let him know that I charged nothing for what I had done, and desired to be excused for doing the other part in the way he proposed. Then we had a serious conference on the subject, and at length, he agreeing to set her free, I finished his will." John Woolman went on to visit Quaker meetings throughout the colonies, and by the Revolution, most North American Quakers had freed their slaves. The slavery system was bigger than not writing one will, but that was a huge step for John Woolman in his personal journey to live from the heart. As time went on, he was able to take bigger and bigger steps, and even the single step of not writing the will helped jam the gears of the slavery machine. He was one person at first, but it was hard to challenge such an entrenched system. He He struggled to act from his heart, and he often received strenuous opposition from his fellow Quakers. But as the years went by and he practiced speaking out against slavery and relying on God to help him challenge the mores of the majority, it became easier and more people joined him. By the 1800s, Quakers were a key part of the abolitionist movement and the Underground Railroad. Thinking about John Woolman's journey to live more from the heart, to live more courageously, where do we need courage today? Where do we need to act from the heart instead of from our habits or social pressure? Where do we need to choose what we know to be right, even if it seems like it will create unnecessary strife or inconvenience for us? Or even if it seems like initially it won't make much of a difference? We brainstormed last Wednesday lots of ways that we could do this in regards to creation here. That maybe you're the only person in your household who is composting or recycling, or maybe you're the only person at work who brings in reusable utensils and plates instead of using the disposable things at work or at church. But that just those few small acts can create a momentum that other people join in. So I invite you this week to be thinking about, especially as a lot of us are on break from taking transportation to work or from going out to eat. Notice the ways that that helps us to prepare for creation, and think about ways that you might make provisions to keep those practices in place even when we're back to business as usual. It's another example I think about in needing courage and living from the heart. I've been in touch with a lot of different pastors over the past week talking about the situation in their churches all over the country. And different churches are doing different things as they're in areas that are affected more or less by COVID-19 so far. But one church was in a town that's fairly similar to Arlington, where schools had shut down and all the churches and other places of worship had closed for in-person worship and for most of the programming. But this pastor felt really uneasy about one part of that, and that was that their church hosts Alcoholics Anonymous gatherings, AA gatherings, almost every day of the week. And they consider this to be a really vital part of their ministry. And this pastor knew that if they closed their doors to the AA meetings, that folks who really needed a place to come and be supported on a daily basis would be extra vulnerable to spiraling into returning to alcoholism and having lots of stress in their lives that seemed only that they would choose something that they had been trying to fight against for a long time in order to assuage that stress. So we started talking with the church council and with other folks at the church, and at first he thought he was the only one who thought this way. There was some serious resistance to finding a way to keep the AA meetings happening at the church, because of course they wanted to balance public health and making sure that people were safe from the virus as well. And it felt really lonely. And this pastor reached out to me and said, I just feel just so sad about the state of humanity, that this is where we are, that we're so entrenched in fear that we are willing to abandon some of our most vulnerable people in our community. We prayed about it, and the next day, just by happenstance, this pastor happened to talk to three or four other people in the congregation who agreed with him that they needed to find some way to support those who were attending the AA meetings. And so what at first had felt like a really lonely road of just him speaking his mind and finding opposition gathered a little momentum, and they put together a plan that would maintain social distancing and smaller numbers of gatherings and include sanitizing and having some members of the church there to make sure that all of these things were followed, members of the church who were in good health and not at risk for COVID-19. And that's where they are right now, is looking to move forward with that. And using courage, acting from the heart, in order to support those who are relying on the church in really important ways. Jesus promises us that when we choose to be courageous, when we take heart, the Holy Spirit will meet us smack in the middle of our fears and anxieties and give us exactly what we need in the moment, even providing us with companions on the way to strengthen and encourage us. So as we continue to face new challenges and unexpected changes every day, may we remember the words of that albatross spoken in Aslan's voice. Courage, dear hearts. Amen. We're going to finish now with a closing song. We'll have a benediction after that. This song is a song that we are going to be using throughout the time that we are meeting virtually. So it'll become kind of a touchstone for us. And I think it's the lyrics of it are very appropriate. So if you need a moment to go open your email, you'll see that last night I sent a link to this song with the lyrics so that you can sing along if you'd like. We're going to sing it twice through, and there's also in that email a link to the words with some of the notes, and also a link to the YouTube video, so that if you want to put this on during the week and kind of have it in the background sometimes, by the end of our time of meeting virtually, I think we all will know this song probably by heart. So let's sing it together. God will see us through. Using this opportunity to do good and to share what they have and care for one another. So if you are with someone else right now worshiping, take a moment and share with them something good you've seen in the last week that has come out of these unusual circumstances. If you're by yourself worshiping, feel free to write a comment. And the few folks who are gathered here to help make worship happen can take a moment to share those too. A funny one that I loved is that last night, Christine told me that there were professional DJs on Facebook who were live streaming dance parties, and folks that you'd usually have to pay lots of money to go see in a club were having dance parties so that people could enjoy themselves at home and have a sense of connectedness and a way to let off steam. So that's kind of a frivolous one, but I think actually it was really helpful. So share with one another, take a moment to share things that you've seen this week that have been signs of goodness amidst the chaos. That's good. Share
with us. Also saw art teachers giving free art lessons on Facebook. Cool. For kids. And anyone.
So emails from our teachers all weekend going back and forth talking about how to do this week's morning. So really all of them reaching out.
And learning how to do things in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. The ones that were mentioned here in the sanctuary were, Dave said that teachers all weekend have been having lots of conversations via email about how to do distance learning so that kids can continue to have instruction and learning while we're out of school. And Christine mentioned that she's seen art teachers giving free art lessons. If you're like me and you're looking for ways to help during this time, as kind of a spiritual practice to care for one another and also to feel better about things, I would encourage you to go online, particularly to, there is a Facebook group for Arlington that has compiled a list of things that people are needing. So you can go on and say, hey, I need help with this thing. Or you can go on and say, hey, I can do this thing. I forget the name of it, so we'll post that later, but it's something like Arlington COVID-19 response. And so I'd encourage you to go on there. And I'd also encourage you to continue to reach out to one another in our church community, to email and call people, particularly those who might be at risk or who might be isolated. And as you feel comfortable and as you are identifying in the healthy and not at risk category, consider running an errand for someone who can't get out or getting groceries for them. Especially if you have kids at home, you're looking for things to do, write cards to people in our congregation. The CDC has said you cannot pass COVID-19 through the mail. So write cards or make a meal for someone and leave it on their doorstep, or knock on the door and have a 6-foot conversation with them about how they're doing. Find ways to be Christ's body in the midst of this difficulty. Tom, I think, has an announcement.
So all the colleges are doing online classes.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to share another way you've seen good happening is that the colleges are doing online classes so we can continue to have our young people on track to learn and graduate and not be disrupted.
Hold on one second.
To close this out, I'd like to read a poem that I saw online but that a few of you have sent me as well. It's called Pandemic, slightly adapted by Liv Unger. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel, cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make your circumstances different than they are. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has become clear. Do not reach out your hands, but reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly what we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. Go in peace, fear not, and take courage, dear hearts.